Welcome to Real News, and I am going to discuss day 8 of the Ghislaine Maxwell trial that happened yesterday, which is Wednesday. It is early Thursday morning that I am talking about this right now. And let me tell you what's going on. Prosecution is rushing to get this done by the end of the week. That's pretty funny, considering they wanted to run this out 5 to 6 weeks. But there's so much stuff coming out that they don't want you to know. They don't want you to know that the FBI knew about Jeffrey Epstein. They don't want you to know that the FBI seized all his hard drives and gave this evidence back to Jeffrey Epstein. That's the truth, folks. You're not going to hear about this. Also, for those not really familiar with a lot of social media, the social media that is talking about this case on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, on all social media platforms, what happened on Wednesday, late afternoon, is many of these profiles that were discussing this case on Twitter were removed permanently, and these people were banned from Twitter. So it's going to get harder and harder for me to get this information. But let me tell you what's going on from day 8, okay? Let me get my notes here. Day 8 proceedings started with Judge Nathan addressing the jury as to jurisdiction, specifics pertaining to the context of state law relevant to Carolyn's testimony. First witness would be Janine Jill Velez, a former human resources staffer at Mar-a-Lago. For 15 years, she would authenticate a personal action notice pertaining to the hiring of one Sky Roberts in 2000. Cross-examination from Bobby Sternum would establish that the witness had no direct knowledge of hiring, but would still confirm the personal notice. Jill Velez was dismissed. The following witness was made known to the public as Sean, a 38-year-old male. Sean acknowledged assisting in the trafficking of witness Caroline when she was 14. Sean was 17 at the time, saying they had dated for 4 to 5 years. Sean would explain that he would receive a call from Sarah Kellen and a lady with a foreign accent, describing one as French and one as English, requesting him and Caroline drive to Epstein's Palm Beach address. Sean would disclose that Carolyn had received lingerie and a movie sent by FedEx from New York as gifts from Maxwell and Epstein. Sean would also acknowledge trafficking Melissa at the time, age 16, and Amanda Laszlo at the time, age 15, to the same location, claiming they returned to the car with hundreds of dollars after an hour in Jeffrey Epstein's house. Sean would also acknowledge his latter arrest in Louisiana for methamphetamine possession, also being charged as a felon in possession of a firearm. Sean was dismissed. Prosecution would present several public exhibits, including several photos of Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein vacationing. It appeared with his hand over Ghislaine's stomach in one picture, suggesting a pregnancy, and a photo of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. Are you ready for this, people? At the Queen's cottage. You heard that right, the Queen. So he's hanging out with royalty, and we already knew this anyways. Many of these exhibits released include photos that had not been available to the public previously. And you'll be able to find this stuff on the internet, so look it up. Wednesday's third witness would be Nicole Hess, who worked as a housekeeper at Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell's Palm Beach home in 2003. She would testify to authenticate an exhibit, being asked by the prosecution, "Do you see here that Caroline called Epstein's house?" To which she answered, "Yes." Nicole would also confirm a separate piece of evidence, believed to be a photo sealed to the public displaying Caroline's name. David Rogers, who was Jeffrey Epstein's former pilot, would be next to take the witness stand. Mr. Rogers would confirm that he had been Epstein's pilot since 1995 when he was hired in Columbus, Ohio. Rogers would continue to explain, "We mostly flew between his houses," mentioning several different jets owned by Epstein, specifically asking about a Gulfstream that had a divider installed. a door that Rogers explained was often closed. Rogers would explain that he kept a logbook when flying Jeffrey Epstein's planes. That's pretty smart of the dude. That's something I would do. Prosecutors would present this logbook as a sealed exhibit with an entire column of names redacted. Rogers would be asked to confirm if a passenger referenced as GX-12 had traveled on Jeffrey Epstein's plane. And that was not to be repeated aloud for the public, which he answered affirmatively yes. Rogers would then be asked by the prosecution to reveal details of a previous flight made from Palm Beach to New Jersey. Rogers would respond stating Juan Alisi, Epstein's Palm Beach housekeeper, had driven passengers to the airport. He would also recall Jane being present on his flight with several other passengers. That's pretty interesting. Rogers would proceed to recall a flight from Van Nuys, California to Santa Fe, New Mexico. Jeffrey Epstein was the only passenger present. Prosecution would continue to ask Rogers how many times Jane had traveled on Jeffrey Epstein's planes. Rogers responded 32 times. Inquiry progressed when Rogers was asked about the presence of Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein, an unnamed passenger, and Virginia Roberts on a flight to St. Thomas, to which he responded yes. Prosecution would end their questioning of witness Rogers by confirming the presence of Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein on a flight from Spain to Tangria, Mexico. Cross-examination by Maxwell's defense attorney Everdell commenced by asking Rogers if the cockpit door was left open at times, allowing him to see the passengers, to which he responded yes. Everdell would inquire as to if Rogers ever found any sex toys or used condoms, to which he responded, "No, I did not." Ghislaine Maxwell's defense would expand, asking, "Isn't it common to own private planes through companies? One company per plane to limit liability, right?" To which Rogers responded, "Yes." After a lunch break, questioning continued with Everdell mistakenly addressing Rogers as Mr. Vysotsky, to which the judge reminded him, "It's Rogers." Rogers would be asked if he knew Jane's legal first name, which he acknowledged, responding, "I do." Everdell said, "But Epstein had an assistant with the same first name, didn't he?" To which Rogers responded, "Yes." Both of these questions are designed by the defense to reveal the witness's identity. So you see what they're trying to do? Both the prosecution and judge failed to remind Everdell of his duty. Lots of corruption going on here, folks. Everdell will continue. Eva Dubin was on this flight. Her husband is a hedge fund's manager who was a client of Jeffrey Epstein's. To which Rogers replied, "I don't know." Everdell would ask Rogers if the flight's destination was there. Was where billionaire Lex Wexner lived. In other words, he asked if that's where they were going to. Billionaire Lex Wexner was the owner of The Limited, and he was also a personal friend and client of Jeffrey Epstein, which Rogers would confirm affirmatively as yes. The defense went on. Quote, their question was, "So, you never saw Annie Farmer on your plane or in travel logs?" To which Rogers would reply, "I did not." After an insane cross-examination from Everdell that focused solely on providing alternative narrative instead of responding to accusations directly, Rogers was dismissed. The same strategy is what they're using here, folks, is avoiding used once more by Maxwell's defense team. They're trying to twist the narrative. Wednesday's courthouse proceedings concluded at just before 5, when Judge Nathan announced charge scheduling, which must take place before the defense argues their rebuttal to the prosecution case, stating that this upcoming Friday may be used for that. Further elaboration revealed Judge Nathan is planning for Ghislaine Maxwell's team to start their defense next Thursday, on the 16th. Judge Nathan also mentioned it's possible jury members do not get called into court this coming Friday. As each day's session ends, the time available for prosecution to deliberate their case has been significantly reduced, drawing scrutiny from journalists as to the legitimacy of this prosecution's effort to secure justice for their client. So it's starting to get interesting, folks. I don't truly believe we're ever going to have full justice, because the rabbit hole goes incredibly deep. For anybody that doesn't know, like I have told people, I'm not a rookie when it comes to conspiracy theories. I'm not. I pretty much follow things that there is actual factual evidence to back up. And this Jeffrey Epstein thing that you hear, some of you listening are probably new to any of this, but all this stuff you heard about Jeffrey Epstein raping and killing kids. And make no doubt, they killed children on Epstein Island. It's a fact, folks. I know some of you don't want to believe it. Some of you might smile listening to me talk about this, but these people are evil. And what they have been allowed to get away with needs to be stopped. And the government is complacent to these people. Hollywood is complacent to these people. These people are all involved. It is corruption to the T, to the core of our society. This is evil being led to run rampant in our society. And it's up to us to expose this evil and to take these people down. And I am going to get as much coverage as I can about this. For some of you that want to follow me on Facebook, you can do so also at Ocala Conspiracy Forum. I know some of you that listen to this already do follow it, but I have multiple posts. I've been talking about this shit for years. Years. Before the media even knew about Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein. And anybody that's been following me for years on Ocala Conspiracy Forum knows exactly what I'm talking about. So, go to Ocala Conspiracy Forum, like the page, follow it, tell your friends about it. If you're new listening to my podcast today, if this is your first time, welcome. If you're new, please hit the follow button, tell your friends. For the people listening to me, thank you for listening and sharing my word about the podcast. Also, if you'd like to reach me for any inquiries, or if you want to be a guest on a future podcast, you can email me at realnewsocala@gmail.com. And I will return tomorrow for day 9 coverage. And I will get my notes together as much as I can. Like I had said earlier in my podcast here, it's getting harder and harder to get this information. And you got to understand why. You know, they don't want you to know about the FBI's involvement. They don't want you to know about the government complacency. And that's what it is, folks. I'll say it again. Government complacency. Hollywood complacency. Media blackout. Trying to not let you know what's going on. The top 1%, the top 3% running this world know. And they've covered this piece of trash up for far too long. And it's up to us to talk about it and discuss it. And thanks for listening.